Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Stone Chapel Podcast. I'm David Capes. Now, last week, we had part one of my discussion with Emmanuel Tove on the divine names in the Dead Sea Scrolls. We focused particularly on the Hebrew Scrolls. Now, if you missed that, please go back and listen to that podcast. Now, most of the 800 or so scrolls found at Qumran were written in Hebrew or Aramaic in a particular script. It's called sometimes Aramaic script or square script. But there were some scrolls written in Greek. It's a minority for sure, but an important minority because it tells us something about the development of the LXX, the Septuagint. That became, in a way, the standard Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. But of course, the divine names are found in those scrolls. So how did Greek text from the century before, in the century of Jesus, render the divine names? And what does that tell us about Greek-speaking Jews, and ultimately the Jewish followers of Jesus in the first century of the Christian era? Well, there's a lot to talk about. So today, Emmanuel Tove on the Stone Chapel Podcast.
Maybe we'll say something about the Greek manuscripts as well.
Okay.
Because the Greek manuscripts are equally interesting.
Now, most of the manuscripts from Qumran have been in Hebrew.
Yes.
But there are some in Greek, right? And Aramaic.
There are some in Greek. What is interesting, maybe I forgot to say, is that, and this is of a major interest, we find these special writings of the dots and of the writings in the ancient Hebrew script almost exclusively in writings of the Qumran sect. So this was a habit of the Qumran sect. This is how we round off this topic. This was a custom of the Qumran sect. They are the ones who were so super religious. And so this was not a custom imported from the outside, from Jerusalem or wherever. This was their feeling. They were very religious people. They were thinking the whole day about God. They were praying the whole day to God. They were studying Hebrew scripture one third of the day. So this is their life. Now something about the Greek scriptures that were also found at Qumran and in other places in the Judean desert. We find something very parallel there. Because Greek is a language different from Hebrew. And so we find, interestingly enough, among the religious Jews who copied Greek scriptures, mind you, we are talking about the period before Christianity.
100, maybe 200 years.
Yeah, before Christianity and also after Christianity, but as a continuation of the period before Christianity, these are Jewish Greek writings, so that's the Septuagint, or maybe you call it Old Greek translation, or Greek scriptures, maybe that's the best term, Greek scriptures, we find in them something comparable to what we find at Qumran, namely the use of the name of God in Hebrew characters.
So you're writing along in Greek, and then you see...
So writing in Greek, and in the middle of the Greek, you have in Hebrew characters the name of God in Hebrew. Now, in one of two scripts, either in the square Aramaic script or in the ancient Hebrew script.
The Paleo-Hebrew. Yeah.
So, and this we have from the first century before the Common Era onwards. I think that most of these are in the so-called revisions, the Jewish revisions of the Septuagint. But some of them is unclear what their form is. Now, there's an interesting aside here. If you write Yud, He, Vav, He, and if you don't know Hebrew, if you know only Greek capitals, that comes to be Pipi.
It's what it looks like.
If you look from the other side,
right,
not from right to left, but from left to right, becomes P, Yota, P, Yota. So Origen already wrote Pippi. About Pippi. So this is how we scholars call this. This is a very interesting parallel. And so you see that it's basically the same Jewish people who are very careful about the writing and pronouncing of the divine name, that even in Greek, and you see a beautiful example in the Minor Prophet scroll from Nachal Hever, even in Greek, you see the way in which they limited themselves regarding the writing of the divine names.
Is the name Kurios ever used for the divine name in these sectarian scrolls or biblical scrolls?
We have to complete the picture. If you open your day, your present edition of the Septuagint, we call this the Ralph's edition, you don't find any of what I'm saying now. It's only Kurios. So Kurios, the Lord. And that's how you find Kurios also in the New Testament. What went on here? So this is one addition to what I said. The second addition to what I said is that we have one scroll from Qumran, a fragment. It's a fragment of Leviticus. And in that fragment, you have the divine name, neither Kurios nor the Hebrew writing, but you have in a transliteration of Hebrew in Greek characters. So there you have the name Yahweh in Greek characters, but it's written in shortened form, Yao, Yota, Alpha, Omega. So this is a revolutionary find, Yao, because now you have scholars like Immanuel Tov who say this is probably the original way that the first translators wrote the translation. This is a very difficult suggestion. It's a normal way of thinking that. Why would it be different from anything else? So that at first they wrote Yao, and only later, under influence of the Jewish limitations, they didn't want to write the name of God, and it became My Lord, which is Adonai in Hebrew and Kurios in Greek. But if this view is correct, it's not easy, because all our evidence, or almost all our evidence, is Kurios. So it must have been a sweeping revolution, a sweeping change. Other people don't accept, most scholars don't accept this. Most scholars say that the first translation was, first representation of the divine name in Greek was Kurios. That is also difficult. So you have two different schools.
So in one, it sounds like there's transliterated, either represented in Hebrew script, or it's transliterated, or it's in a way translated into Kurios.
Three different ways you have.
Right, yeah.
And basically books have been written on this problem.
Well, it's an important thing because it represents the piety of this particular group, which, as you said, was very religious, and yet they did share some ideas with early Christianity, it seems like, and they also shared ideas with some of the Pharisees.
Yes, but we're talking about the translators now.
Right, yes, yeah.
We're talking about the translators, this is all we have. We have no other evidence, and it remains hypothesis. We don't know, and we have to be modest and say that we don't know.
Yeah, and sometimes that's the best answer, isn't it? Emmanuel Tove, thank you for being with us today on the Stone Chapel podcast. We look forward to other times with you.
And, thank you very much.
We're so grateful that you're here. I can hardly believe that Emmanuel Tove, the most significant scholar in the study of the Dead Sea Scrolls for the past 40 years, has been at the Lanier Theological Library for 3 months doing research. I'm going to pinch myself. Thank you to Professor Tove for being on our podcast. Now, his wife, Lika, has been with him. She is an amazing artist. You can see some of her artwork at www.likatove.info. That's LIKATOV.INFO. There's an exhibit going on right now at the Lanier Theological Library. It'll be up through, the end of the month of January in 2024. I want to thank some new listeners that we know about who are listening in Poland. Boy, we're glad that you're along with us. Please tell a friend or two or maybe even three and subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform and rate us, please. It helps other people find us. Now, these podcasts are brought to you through the generosity of the Lanier Foundation. That funds my role as director of the Lanier Theological Library. Thanks to the board for their support. Thanks as well to Kathy Capes for the careful editing she does of these podcasts. And thanks to Phil Keggy for our music. He did exactly sort of what I was asking for in getting the sound of this recording. If you have questions, comments, or just want to be in touch, please contact us at podcast@lanierlibrary.org. That's podcast@lanierlibrary.org. Lanier is spelled L-A-N-I-E-R. Until next time, I'm David Capes. Thanks for listening. Stand by for a nugget of wisdom from Dr. Emmanuel Tove.
I think one of the most important things in my approach to the Hebrew and Greek scriptures is that you have to study these very important works in their original languages. Only in this way you can try to understand what the original authors said at the time, 2,000 years and more ago.